Rightio, welcome to episode number 7 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thanks for joining us again. It's getting pretty close to Christmas, getting pretty close to the close of the 2017 running year, and I'm joined once again with Bradley Croker and Julian Spence. How are we, boys?
Good, boys.
You? Ticking along.
Yeah, good, good, good. Got a bit of, a bit of spark in your voice there, Brad. What's going on?
I'm on holidays.
On school holidays.
Yeah, for
lucky.
About 7 weeks, 6 weeks.
Lucky you. Bit jealous of that. Yeah. I've got 2 days to go. I'm counting down big time.
Nice.
Yeah, teacher life.
Julian, what are you doing with school holidays? You got how many weeks you got coming up?
How many weeks?
Yeah.
Actually going to take a little bit of time. From the 23rd, Bree and I will just take about a week off, and then the stalk still ticks along, so I'll still be doing work, but just won't be actually physically in store for about a week.
Good, good. Just a bit of rest time for the big moose.
Oh, just got to get out, got to get away, going up the falls. Just going to sit and read about 15 books, I reckon. That's my goal.
Yeah, right. What have you got on your list? You got a few stacked up already?
Yeah, I've got a couple I'll read. I want to read. I got The Golden Mile, Herb Elliott's book, so that should be good. The Unforgiving Minute by Ron Clark. Just a couple of old school books, a couple of first editions that I collected that I've never got a chance to read, and I don't want to take them traveling because they're pretty bad condition, so I'm going to read them where I can look after them a little better.
Sounds very relaxing up there. Run hard in the day and then read books during the off time. Which is
pretty
good.
Much.
Rightio, Brad, let's walk us through your week first. You had the big 5K park run hit out on the weekend. What happened during the week and then what happened on the weekend?
So I had a pretty light start to the week because I came off that 184K week before. So Monday was just 45 minutes. Tuesday was about an hour in the morning and 35 minutes in the afternoon with some strides. So all my easy runs have been a little bit slower than what I've been doing probably the last year. So just really focusing on heart rate, keeping it sort of under 130, which is a bit of a challenge when it's slow. We've had a couple of 35-degree days here, so the afternoons are a bit tough. But so that was Monday, Tuesday. Wednesday, had stuff on for work, so I had to get out really early. So I was warming up at 6:15, which for me is like super early for a session. Felt pretty ordinary warming up, but the session was good. Session was 2 minute on, 1 minute easy, 1 minute on, 1 minute easy, times 5. So ended up averaging around 253 kilometre pace for the 2 minuters and 248 for the 1 minuters. And the session, which went for 24 minutes, ended up averaging about 315s overall. So I was really happy with that. Every rep, I was sort of looking down at my Garmin, just expecting it to the next one to be sort of like 305s or whatever, and it never happened. So it was just one of those sessions where everything sort of clicked and felt good. Then Thursday was sort of my midweek long run, but because it was an easy week, I only did around 80 minutes. So that got me about around 19K. Friday, just 2 35-minute runs, and the morning was quite nice. We had a bit of rain, so it was just really nice temperature to run in. And then we had a work Christmas party at lunchtime, and I had 2 beers, and I'm pissed off one, and so I had a headache. I was running pretty much with a hangover on my second afternoon run, and it was at that point where I just went, there's no point me drinking alcohol because I just can't handle any of it. I just feel really bad. So that was Friday, and then did park run on Saturday, and ended up running for the course 14:49, and then I just ran an extra 20 odd meters until my watch clicked over 5K. So I must have been like on the Garmin sort of 4.98 or whatever. It was a really hot day, so I was I was just surprised with how well it went, really. So I was sort of, I don't know, it was my splits, it was like 302, 302, 258, 256, 254. But the first K and like the fourth K, they all felt the same. Like it was just a grind from the start. And I don't know whether that's an age thing, that as I'm getting older, it just takes a little bit longer to get going, but I'm a bit stronger than I was when I was younger, so I can hold it together better. So that was park run, just 35 minutes in the afternoon, and then 2 hours 15 on Sunday, which at 4:09, so that was just over 32K for a week of 143. So, all good.
What were our predictions last week on Brad's park run?
Yeah, I think about that. I was making jokes about possibly a 14:25 or 14:30 or something, but I think maybe you said 14:45. I don't know. I don't listen.
14:52. 14:52.
I reckon I said that. Yeah, I agree. You did say that, and Brady said, nah, he'll run shit. He's done no speed work.
It's funny that we've all run so close together. Like, there's 4 seconds between us for our three separate, Julian and I are in the same race, but different. We jogged for 12 hours.
We were on a track. This is different.
No.
This is worth.
We were jogging, though, for like 4K.
No.
Mine was a time trial. Yeah.
I'm giving Brad the points here.
What are your thoughts on him, Julian, not stopping at the finish line and keeping go through to make sure it's Garmin certified?
So, odd. Yeah, I'd call it odd.
Very odd.
I don't think Sean Crichton would be into that.
No.
Whatever. I was out for 5K, so I wanted to make sure I ran 5K according to my Garmin.
You would have got a bit of lip on Strava, though, if you put 4.9 up. People would have been getting into you there, I reckon.
Yeah. So, no, it was a hard hit out. Like, I definitely went to the well on Saturday. It was I think my heart rate hit like 185, which in training I haven't gone above 175 over the last however many weeks. So I put that down to the heat stress, because it was one of those days where the bomb probably would have said that it was only like 22 degrees, but there was this intense direct sunlight. Which just made it a lot harder than I'd say 28 degrees with cloud cover I find easier than 22 with direct sunlight. So it was one of those days. So I was pretty happy with that, and hopefully it sort of just brings me up a little bit doing something that hard.
Did you win? You won it easy.
Yes.
Did you win?
What was he saying last week? There's like 4 people have ran quicker times than him there. It's a hot park.
10 years.
Yeah, second was 16:15.
Yeah, so you didn't see anyone at all, did you?
Did they go out with you, though?
Maybe the first 200.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, that's a no then. Normally at park run, you'll have someone going out real hard with you.
Splits were positive. That's a good run. It's good that you've ran negative split at big time as well, coming home in 2:54.
Yeah, but it's sort of like, if you told me after K1 that I was going to run that fast for the last 3K, I wouldn't have believed you, because I felt like I was redlining it from K1. Mm.
Your heart rate kind of shows that a little bit. Like, if you look at the graph, it's very flat the whole way along. I mean, it climbs a little bit late, but geez, the whole way along, there's no real spikes. It's just like gets up quick and kind of stays up quick.
Well, I think the fact that it was so hot, like, got the heart rate up really high initially. It was certainly a hard run. I'd love to feel a little bit easier at 3-minute K pace. And I guess that's a difference from when I was a track runner. The first part of a race would feel a lot easier than it does now, but I wouldn't have the strength to hold it together. So from a marathon point of view, I'm pretty happy that I'm able to be hurting 2K in and still get quicker over the last 3K. So I guess that's a good sign.
You're in a good spot. You're strong and you still got some speed in your legs, which is good.
Yeah. But coach has said we're not going to start any marathon stuff for another month.
Just did 185K last week, though.
No, but like, you know.
Oh, it's big sessions.
Five by 4K and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. The big meaty ones. Very good. Very good. What shoes do you wear? Everyone loves finding out about shoes.
Yeah, so I wore the Zoom Flies for both the session on the Wednesday and the race, which, yeah, like, they're probably a bit bigger and chunkier than I'd normally wear for a 5K park run. They're definitely heavier than the flats I normally wear, but I probably didn't get as banged up wearing them, so which is why I did wear them, so I wouldn't pull up as sore.
I did see a photo of you in the Steigen singlet and the CEP socks as well. Good.
Yeah, well, it was so hot, I thought that singlet is ideal for that sort of those conditions.
Very good. Very
where's,
good.
Where are these photos you're seeing?
I was tagged on something in Facebook, like Canberra Park Run or whatever it's called. Yeah, right. It just came up on my feed. It looked good. Yeah. Looked good. I actually thought you had a pair of 4%ers on. I didn't realise that the Zoom Flies came in that same colour.
No, but the highlight of my week is that I do have a pair of 4%ers now.
Oh,
thanks to Julian.
You can take 14.49, take 4%, 14.35. Yeah, should be about it. 14.35.
All right, I won't run next month. I'll just put it in the diary.
Just claim it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good call.
Straight up. Julian, talk us through your week. Pretty big one. You had that big event you were putting on the weekend, so I reckon that would have made a few things difficult to fit in.
Yeah. Nah, mine wasn't a special week in terms of what I got done. I had an easy week the week before where I started to feel good towards the end of the week. I backed it all down to one run a day, and the plan for this coming week is to run, to go back to normal training basically, and just see if but 1 week down was okay. But it wasn't really like, oh, it may have been, but I just didn't get a chance logistically or practically to run more than I could. So on Monday, just went to the gym in the morning, run to the gym most Monday mornings, do an hour strength and conditioning. Then in the afternoon, joined Monday Loop, just kept it easy and short, only 12K, which is a little less than like my normal second run for the day or first run. And then on Tuesday morning, went down and did a session. We ran on Tuesday, Arvo, sorry. I'm just a little confused. Yeah, Tuesday, Arvo, went and did some 800s, which is a progression from a session when I did it about 6 weeks ago, and I reckon it was. So what we did was last time I did 5x800 at about 2:20, 2 minutes rest. So in order to progress it, we just increased the rep count by one. So we did 6x800. We're considering maybe doing 5x800, running them faster, same rest, or 5x800, running them the same pace and decreasing the rest break. But we thought, let's keep the rest and the rep count the same, but we'll add, the rep pace the same, but we'll add another rep in it. That was quite good. We felt a lot. I did it with Dolce. We did it a lot easier than we did last time. I ran probably a little bit quicker, but the main thing was that I just felt a lot better doing it. So that was really good to see some progress there. Then Wednesday morning, got out for a little bit of call it a mid-long. It's not very long. But I run like 16K or something. 14K Wednesday loop runs up through the bush, so it's an age old loop, and ran run club in the evening, bloody hot, like really hot, ran through the bush, kept the heart rate. What I did do was I got a new heart rate monitor for the watch, which you need to get if you want to see the power settings. Garmin released it, some new software where you can look at the power output, kind of how we were discussing the other week. So I got that heart rate monitor, and it's so much more accurate than the wrist-based ones, and I'm really enjoying looking at it and actually seeing what happens when I go up hills. accurately. So that was really good. I don't know what to do with the power data. Like, I've got all this data there, but I have absolutely no idea what it means or how to plug it into a program or anything. So
where do you see the data, Julian? Like, does it come up on Garmin Connect or Strava or something?
Garmin Connect, yeah. So it comes up on your watch, but then it also comes up in Garmin Connect later on. So as an example, I think, like, for my reps, it wasn't the 800s, the reps later in the week. So the next day I went down and did a session Thursday morning. I did 3K at 9:15. Then I had 3 minute recovery, then 3x1K, 258, 3 minute, 259, 4x400, 67, 67, 66, 63. And yeah, I felt really good during that session. It was the first one that I've kind of got a lot of confidence from. There was a decent amount of rest through the reps, but I just felt really at ease running those paces. I got out of spikes. I've been doing everything in spikes lately, and I got out of those. I put the Vaporfly 4% on, and I'm thinking, this ain't for the track. And I spoke to Jared, who ran a session in them like a week before. He said they were shit on the track. But then Ali said she loved them, and so I put them on and tried them. And, geez, for me, they're a lot more forgiving than the spikes. You kind of, in the spikes, you kind of need to really hit that point on your midfoot where you get the most benefit from them. And I'm not that well versed in my running techniques. Not that precise. It's really quite sloppy. So it helps to have a little bit more shoe under the foot when you're doing some speed work or some faster running, and those shoes really help there. So I'm going to wear them for the 10K. But yeah, and I got power readings out of that. So I think I averaged like 500 watts for the reps. No, I mean, and again, I don't think it translates to if you have a power meter on your bike. I don't think it's the same, because I know those, like, 500 watts is huge for cycling, but I just can't see it being the same for running. So eventually I'll get around to learning that stuff, maybe, or I'll at least have a read about it. So then Friday, I was out, well, Thursday and Friday I was out on course all day in the heat, in the bush, just sort of hiking along, doing a bit of slashing with a whippersnipper, doing some course marking, banging in posts, just setting up marquees, finish line areas, putting flags up, putting cones out, just setting up the event, which was the Gold Rush Trail Run that we put on with Tour de Trails. And it just sapped the shit out of me to a point where at like 6:30, last year I go and run the course to make sure, from the entire course from start to finish, to make sure that I know that what's going on out there. So there's no missed markings, there's nothing in the way. I don't need to clear anything or add more ribbons. And I got out there at 6:30, just pretty cooked, and went for a pretty steady run, just blew up late. It's a lot of climbing involved. It's over 500 meters for the 23K, but it's very sharp and steep climbing, and just cooked myself, frazzled myself at the end. Walked across the line just cramping up, thinking, oh, shit, this is going to be hard for the gang tomorrow, like the 500 runners that we had. And everyone said the same thing. Jeez, that was hard. So that was Friday night. Didn't run Saturday, just had no time, up at like 4:30, out to the course, the start line super early. We sent them off at 8:30, the 22Kers, and then you had to get to the start line to set up the finish area, and was there till about 2:33, come back, pack up all the van and everything, and then I never had a chance to run, really, which was... Like, I didn't care. That's part of it, part of the setup. You just don't get a chance to run, and I'm good with that. And then Sunday morning, totally frazzled still, ran 19.5K with the boys and just cooked again. Couldn't think about running in the afternoon. So it was a week that had some good signs in there, but also didn't allow me to do what I really wanted to do.
Good session, so he's back, I think, Brad. He's back coming good at the business time, just near a race.
Yeah, I think both those sessions were really good, and I think you're sensible by not trying to fit in a normal training week with everything else you had going on. So,
yeah, I literally couldn't. Yeah, no. I actually wish I could have, but there was no way. I was sleeping. Like, I got to bed like Friday night, got home from the race at something like 11, basically bed up at 4 the next day, 4:30, just like not good for training. But I reckon now we're on the right side. The event's done. It was a success, and I can relax a little bit.
How'd you go, Parks Victoria? All good?
Oh, yeah, it sorted itself out. There's not much you can do once their mind's made.
No more dramas?
No more contact.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Decision was made. Yeah.
Yeah.
All good. My week was pretty standard. I did a lot of jogging and three main sessions. So Tuesday, pretty similar to you, Julian, did a... not 800s, but I did 500s, and I think a few weeks ago I maybe did 6 of them, and this time I did 8 of them in pretty similar pace, 124, 125. Was a bit annoyed, went to our little athletics track and wanted to put the spikes on, and I got out of the car and there was just nobody in sight at all, and I was kind of a bit disappointed. I was hoping there's some little athletics kids there just to kind of add a bit of atmosphere, just to be somebody else on the track. And yeah, went for me 5K warm-up and come back, and there was about a million kids kicking soccer balls and all over the track, and the local soccer club had the oval booked, so I was in the car back out to the industrial estate, which was a bit annoying, but yeah, got those done. Pretty hot afternoon, off the minute recovery. That hurt a bit, like that pace for 8 of them. Just, yeah, probably a bit, I don't know, starting to get to that lactate. In the legs, easy 90 minutes on the Wednesday in between. Then the Thursday, I did that similar or exactly the same fartlek, the first 15 minutes of monofartlek like I did last Thursday, and had 2 minutes jogging and ran a K as hard and fast as I could without dipping into that kind of red zone. So, yeah, covered 4.93K for the fartlek, which was about 60 metres further than last week, and ran the K at the end in 2:45, which was good. Haven't run a K that fast in a long time, and just good
break,
fun.
Sorry. Break that down again for me. You wanted to run as hard and as fast as you could,
but kept it in control.
Going into the red zone.
Yeah, like I wanted to, like I wasn't digging super deep, like grinding that extra, like second or two out. Does that make sense?
Right.
Oh, so hard and fast, but like don't just like grind and grit your teeth and like dig super deep to close it down. So, yeah.
As hard as and fast as you can, like that's
without, that yeah, as hard as fast as you can.
Hard and, yeah.
Hey, Brady, I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
You're normally quite big on heart rate, and I noticed you didn't wear a heart rate monitor.
I'd never wear them in these. I never wear them in the fast sessions. You know that. We've had this conversation before when Julian bailed me up on it. I'll wear it when I jog to keep my pace under control, or if I'm doing like long tempos, but not the hard and fast stuff.
I like that anyway. Yeah. I do like that.
I just don't like looking at that. Like, it doesn't. I just need to hit the times for these sessions and go on effort and the times rather than knowing what my heart rate data is doing. I was thinking about putting it on just to see what it does in the recoveries, like Julian did a couple of weeks ago. But I haven't really gone to the heart rate for these faster sessions yet. Some more easy jogging. When we did that faster K though, we thought that it'd be a good idea to take the extra day recovery, because usually I'm a kind of Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday guy, and we moved the Saturday session to Sunday, which was good. So I had 2 extra days jogging, and then did 20K on the Friday morning, 10K on the Saturday afternoon. So that was good recovery, and then 2x3K, 3x1K Sunday. So 9:02, 9 minutes for the 2 3-ers. 3 minutes recovery there, and then 2:54, 2:53, 2:53. So that felt good as well. And yeah, it's kind of, that's my Steigen block kind of complete now, that longer stuff. Done a stack of work at 3 minute K pace, and hopefully it feels good. And I can string them together without recoveries next weekend, which should be good. So yeah, nice week, and looking forward to racing next week.
I reckon you'll be going in favourite after these sessions.
Yeah, no, I reckon I'm about fourth. I've been studying some names. Well, there's some bloke in there who's running like 27:30. Sean Crichton is making everyone look bad on the entry list. But, well, there's a couple of these guys from Zat, like, who was in there. Nick Earl's going to, he ran 29:40 something the other night, didn't he?
Yeah.
Toby Rayner. I reckon Michael Marantelli be a danger. Dave Craniti. I reckon there's four guys there that will break 30 minutes. So we'll just hang on for as long as we can and race them, hopefully, at the end. That's the plan. We'll talk about a bit of that later on, though, I reckon. We'll get on to Steigen predictions at the end. But, about 140, which is good. I've signed up for Lake Biwa Marathon. I'm going to Biwa in 11 weeks, isn't it, Brad?
Yep, that's right, 11 weeks.
11 weeks yesterday, so we're going to get this 10K out of the road and then, concentrate on doing some marathon work, which is exciting.
You're going pretty speedy.
Yeah, which is probably why I was a bit, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? I wasn't really sure if I wanted to do a marathon because I was kind of hitting this speedy work, so... Hopefully that session I did, remember that one last week, that 13K tempo, and it showed I still had a bit of strength there. So hopefully I can translate it, to the marathon work pretty quick because it's going to be kind of 10 weeks in between, which I think I can do.
It's good to go in speedy.
Oh,
is
it?
It's going to make those, yeah. Oh, well, I think it is.
I think it is too. I'm just a bit worried that I haven't done much longer running. Like I've been doing slow long runs and they're kind of like 24, 26K. So, but I think this time around with the heat through summer, I might just do, 2:30s, 2:45s, but just keep them super slow and not worried about kind of doing 35, then 36, then 37, and go more on time on feet rather than distance covered.
Good.
Like the old school boys without their garments, which is good. Hey, the big news for the week, Zatopek. The big Zatopek meet was on, the Australian 10,000 metre championships, and a few other races were on also. Julian was there, down there in the flesh, and Brad and I watched the live stream and just talked a bit of banter on the on our little Facebook group while we were going, which I quite enjoyed, Brad.
Yeah, you did. You liked letting me know that you picked all the winners.
I should be like starting a book or something on these things. I would have been dishing out some real good odds. I was picking all the winners. I reckon it was about 4-0 in the end. I smashed you. But highlights of it, Julian, for you?
Oh, men's and women's 10K for sure. Like that was, both races were really good to watch. I was just racing. I'm a bit of one of those nerds at the track who takes the splits every lap and likes to see what's happening in the race, who's picking it up and you can tell by watching, but it's also nice to look down and go, shit, that was a 68 or that was a 62, that one that went in and picked it up, whatever. So I love watching athletics in the flesh. I can go down and watch bloody local athletics and still love it. So Zatopek's an awesome event, and the racing didn't just disappoint, that's for sure.
Yeah, interesting you said that, because Mottram was up in the commentary box on the live stream, and I think, Brad, you might be able to back me up here. I'm pretty sure he asked if someone could start yelling out what the splits were, and I think Tim Crosby was spitting out what the laps were in the background, and he kind of made that interesting. It was a real good move having him in the commentary box for both the 10Ks, just his wisdom around the sport and talking about the Ks getting picked up and the laps getting picked up was really kind of good to hear.
Yeah, I agree. He was good.
Yeah.
It's great to know information, what's happening, like, because it's pretty hard to pick all that up when you're only seeing the athletes on the track, like in flesh. Like I was on a bend, you see them up close for 25 seconds as they turn the bend, and then they're gone, and you're like, oh, who is that? What was his thing? What number? Like where? And so it's a little bit harder to work out what's happening on the night.
Well, let's maybe discuss that female 10K first, because they were kind of calling the splits of Trengrove, and when she went at the front, she was starting to run like 78s and 76s, and I remember sitting at home on the couch going, 76s? Like, I want to be running 72s next week at Steigen. She is really grinding this out here, and she did it for quite a number of laps.
Well, it was pedestrian earlier. Like, they were running 80s, 82. I reckon they were running some 82s at some point, and the group was enormous. you can just sort of feel the tension in the group. Like there was some pretty ugly running styles in the group, and I was just thinking, oh, there's some legs going everywhere, there's some shoulders getting thrown around. Like, I would not want to be in the middle of that thing right now, especially for a 5K, which it basically was before it got going. And it was actually interesting to see, even off that slow pace, girls getting dropped that had run fast, like they'd run way faster 10Ks than that before. Yet there's just something about like the competitive element of a group like that, where you're looking at the splits going, hey, this is like these girls should not be getting dropped here at all, even close to it. But then, I don't know, it must be a mental thing that they start falling off the back, and it was just interesting to watch that happen. Some higher profile girls getting spat out the back of that. And then, yeah, then you could tell when it got moving, you know, when you see it string out, instead of being three deep, it goes to two deep, and then it's just like a Indian file around the track. And Jess doing all the work. She was on front for, I reckon, about 12 laps in a row. And just the drop off one by one. Brad's girl, Emily, she was there until about, I reckon it was 4 laps to go.
Yeah, I thought she had it too. I was waiting for some of that early, that late speed. I thought it might have, I thought, I was saying to Brad, she's going to win this. Sean Crichton has given us a hot tip on this podcast a week early.
Thoughts, Bradley?
She looked good, and you know, she had so long out of the sport, so that's a pretty good first up run from her, I reckon. And she's only going to improve on that run. So, but yeah, she did. I thought with a couple of K to go that she was definitely. I thought she was going to finish top three, it wasn't to be. But still, good run. Celia's run was amazing. She's just so gutsy. She just hangs on, and then to find that kick at the end. And I think what else I liked about both races was the favourites like not winning, which I think is good for the sport as well.
Yeah, because so, did you guys think that Wellings was just going to sit there? Like, she did no work. Jess was trying to drop her. Salahern was trying to drop her. And I was like, we all know where this is going to go here. This girl's just going to sit here the whole time and outkick you guys in the last 400, and it's going to just happen that way.
Yeah, I was picking Wellings. I mean, it's hard not to, yeah, given how well she's gone. I picked her, like, even with 8 laps out, I picked her.
Well, she's racing marathoners as well. This is their second best, or probably third best event after the half marathon.
Yeah. That's interesting, because this raises a really tricky position for the selection of the Commonwealth Games team. Celia Salahern runs the 10K, gets underneath the B qualifier, automatic selection in the 10K. But she is sitting just outside the top three in the Commonwealth Games. Yet the top girl there, Virginia Maloney, did not run well at Zatopek. And it would be a hard call to pick against Celia Salahern, who just finished maybe 2 minutes ahead of Jin and ran like she's the best 10K-er in Australia at the moment based on that race. Wouldn't it be tough to pick against that, given she doesn't nominate for the 10K and wants to run the marathon?
Yeah, do you think that's what she'll do though, or she'll just go, yeah, right, I'll go to the 10K and Jin can have the marathon? Or why doesn't she just do both? Like, if they're start and finish of the program, couldn't you back it up?
Well, you might be able to back it up. It's just, I'm not saying that she would get selected over Jin, because Jin has a solid case as well, because she's run 2:29 at whatever, a couple of seconds faster than Celia, but she did it on a course where the actual race is going to be held. Mm. Coupled with that, the 10K is less than a quarter the distance of a marathon. So it's not like when they pick the 10K team, they're looking at the guys who have run good 1500s going, oh, he's showed form in the 15, he should run the 10K. That would be a similar comparison, I'd say. So it would be, it's pretty tricky. And the event's still like 4 months away or whatever. It's, it's very tough selection, this one. If given, Celia says, no, I don't want the 10K spot. I'm going to run the marathon. I don't know how it works. I haven't been in this sport long enough, but I know I wouldn't want to be a selector picking that one.
Yeah, because when she won the race, it was almost like, oh, she was going for the marathon spot and now she's automatically in the 10K team.
Yeah, but I don't know whether you should look at it like that. Like, just because you did well in a 10K doesn't mean that you get the spot over the girl that didn't run well. Maybe Jin's, this is her first, maybe she's just starting her build and she's had a break. Maybe she had food poisoning two nights out. Like, it's very difficult to make a selection call on one event.
So like where that. Does that leave Wellings then? If she wants a 10K spot and she's just been rolled by the two marathoners?
Well, to be honest, I don't know much about who's got what in the 10K.
Well, I think she's got the A qualifier from the Olympics last year. Like, she had a blinder at the Olympics, and I'm pretty sure, still counts. Top 10, wasn't she? I'm pretty sure.
If she's got an A qualifier, she would get selected.
Boys read up on how many spots they got, though? They've only got, like, 73 spots to take people, like the team. Remember, we're wondering why that... the bloke who ran Berlin with Liam Adams, why he wasn't selected to go for the marathon, and that was their big reason, that they didn't have enough positions in the village. It's pretty similar for the Australian team as well. We've only got 73 spots.
If that's the case, then I'm sure the people that are getting left out would go, that's cool, I'll stay in a hotel. Like, that's not a very good reason, in my mind, to not take people. Like, a spot in the village, fuck.
That's terrible.
They're in their own country. They're not going to
care. Post-Olympics.
Bloody Sheraton. Who cares?
Yeah, I think there's a bit more to it than that as well, though. I think it's you can only have so many people in your team or whatever it is. Like, it's, pretty restrictive.
I don't know whether it's spots in the village, but I know that there is going to be people left off, and that would, again, be a hard call. I got no idea. Mm. Like, I don't like it. I'm glad I'm not doing that job.
Watch this space. Men's race. Starts off, Brad, what do you think? Surprised?
Oh, my money was on Paddy Tiernan, just because he's pure class, and I reckon he'll break a few Aussie records over the next few years. But, yeah, good on – and I thought when he broke away with, a K to go or a bit over a K to go, I thought, oh, this is it. But, Stewie obviously held on really well and was able to kick over the top, so – but it was good. It was good to see somebody that you didn't expect to win get up.
Well, they absolutely destroyed everyone else. Like, if Stewie didn't go with him, Pat Tiernan would have won by, like, 15 seconds, I reckon.
Yeah.
When he put the foot down. I think they ran the last mile in 4:10.
4:07.
4:07. Is that, yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, no, it was really impressive to watch.
Yeah.
And, I think someone said maybe Pat Tiernan had a slight injury, so he might have started winding it up a little earlier if he wasn't as injured, to basically knock the kick out of all those other blokes that were sort of sniffing around, like Stewie. Not that he didn't win the race like with a really strong endurance effort, but maybe if Pat had gone 8 laps out and started winding it up rather than 4, there wouldn't be anyone to mess around with him on that last lap. It's just like, he just timed it perfectly, Stuart. You have to be so patient, don't you? Well, I was just impressed with his patience. Yeah.
It was 4.5 laps when Tiernan went to the front. Like, it's not like, oh, just hang on for a minute here and out kick him the last 200. Like, you commit to a 4:07 mile, as we kind of said. Like, it's a big move to go with that. And you risk, like, if you stuff it up, you're a sitting duck and the 3 or 4 guys could go past you in the last 2 laps.
Yeah. And that's how it sort of looked maybe a little bit for Robinson. He went to a degree, and then I reckon he might have just put a few biscuits back in the tank so he could use them late. That's how, because he kicked Jack Rayner right on the line. It looked like he had that last little kick still in the tank just in case someone was coming around him, because he did get passed by Dave McNeil. But
yeah, for third.
For third, yeah.
Hey, how'd the uniforms look down there? I'm not sure what the heck was going on. There was bits of masking tape here, there and everywhere on some people, yet other people would be wearing exactly the same uniforms and have no masking tape on them covering logos. I don't know what was happening. Not a good look for the sport.
Yeah, I didn't notice it on the night, but I did see it in photos afterwards. I read a tweet, I think it was, from maybe AA, saying it was just a fuck up in the call room. Like, someone was there trying to how I listened to it was someone was there trying to be in charge, as some of those officials love to be, like a lot of power. Let's enforce our power. And I just reckon it's someone overzealous in the call room who wanted to be the big guy who's made of, and I don't really know this, but I've seen it a lot with officials in all sports. I got a feeling it was that. I don't know, do you guys hear any more about that?
No, I haven't heard anything. But I've been there before and, like, had it over my spike bag, but I can never work out some stuff they'd put the tape over. And obviously it's got something to do with advertising. Like, you can't be advertising, certain stuff in an event. But, yeah, some guys had the Team Tempo logo, so Adam Didick's coaching company. That wouldn't be covered. But, yeah, their ASICS logo would be covered. So I couldn't work out. And there was Bryce Anderson had the massive Saucony across the front of his, uncovered, yet Andy Buchanan had a Saucony singlet and it was covered up. Like, made no sense whatsoever. And they're standing next to each other on the start line, pretty much.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Someone in their call room has maybe decided to throw his weight around. And, yeah, no idea. But, I say no idea, just I can feel like it's something like that for sure.
It's just not good for your sponsors. Like, your sponsors are supporting you, and Stewie's coming across the line winning the biggest race of his life, and he can't even promote his sponsors because someone's banged a bit of tape over his two Nike logos.
Yeah, I think it's bullshit.
Yeah, same.
And also, like, this goes back to the same sponsorship thing, but Run For Your Life magazine came out this week, or this month, or whenever it came out, I got sent one, and they've got Stewie McSween in a freaking New Balance kit from early 2016. Like, this guy has now been with Nike for however long, maybe a year or so, and they're promoting his previous sponsor. I can't fathom how that's okay. Like, that's probably why brands don't get involved with athletics, because they don't know how to treat them properly. They don't know how to, like, the media doesn't know how to, well, the racers don't know how to treat the sponsors properly. Like, why would Nike be forking out money to sponsor Stewie McSween when he gets on the front cover of the biggest magazine and they put a photo up from over a year ago in his last sponsor's kit?
And then he goes and wins the biggest track race in Australia and he's got tape over his Nike logos.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Where is the value for Nike there?
Yep, no value at all in a sport that's already struggling. I reckon we're just getting the Moose a bit worked up here, and it might be a perfect time to roll into Moose on the Loose for this week, because it does follow similar lines to the Zatopek meet. Let's go.
All right. Well, as mentioned, I was at Zatopek, and I do love athletics, and I want to be a supporter of the sport. So after a full day on the trails around Daylesford, slashing, marking, basically just getting all sorts of shit up my nose, in my ears, hot, sunburnt, I decided to make the 90-minute drive up to Lakeside Stadium, get through some traffic, yell at a few people in the car and outside of the car. Took the staff up. The boys wanted to come watch some Zatopek, so they jumped in the car. Bree was in there. It was a bit of a staff trip. And
Christmas party.
A bit of a Christmas party, yeah. I even shouted their entries, which we'll get onto that later. But I thought, if me and my store aren't going to support athletics in Australia by showing up to the biggest meet of the year, who is going to? I mean, we are deep in the industry. We deal with running every day. We're part of what makes Zatopek special is grassroots athletics. I run for a local athletics club, sell shoes to runners of all levels and basically talk running every day. And I'm the kind of guy who needs to go to these events, because, like, if I'm not interested in going, then the local park runner's not interested in going, that's for sure. So I thought, this is going to be such a bad call for my training and my sleep and my well-being, but I'm going to drive up to Zatopek and watch it. So we got there as quick as we could after everyone knocked off, about maybe 7:30, missed the first few races, and went to go in, and I thought, oh, I wonder how much it was last year. Couldn't really remember. And I rock up, and it's $25 for entry for all of us. So four people, $100 to get in. And I thought, whoa, that's getting up there. That's like not far off AFL type ticket prices. And then I thought, oh, okay, it is the biggest race of the year, Zatopek. Like, it's probably put on a pretty good show. And the athletics were amazing. So the athletes put on one of the best, like two of the best, most exciting races I've seen in a long time in the 10Kers. The under 20s were great. Cody Shanahan, guy who runs AV races, ran over the top of a few to win the 3K. And a girl ran off the front in the women's 3K. It was like, cool, this is great. Like, I love watching this stuff. But it seemed like I was the only one there who was really getting excited, because I reckon the stands had about 12 people in them either side. Around the park, there wouldn't have been that many more people than when the AV 5Ks were on a month ago. We were there, we wanted to have a beer, so one of the boys went and got some beers, and he came back, I tasted it, junk. I said, what is this shit? Pure blonde. So Lakeside Stadium, think, oh, they're athletes. They want to drink the low carbohydrate beer, Pure Blonde. They don't care about what beer tastes like. So no one's drunk Pure Blonde since, I reckon, 2003, when they first sucked people into thinking they'll get thin by drinking it. And Lakeside Stadium still has stock from back then, I reckon. It tasted like junk. No one was drinking beer. Like, if they had nice beers, maybe a few craft beers, maybe even some better, have Carlton Draft. People will drink that. No one will drink Pure Blonde. And so we were the only ones with beers in the stadium, half-drunk beers, and ended up getting thrown out at the back somewhere. I'm pretty sure they were about $10 each as well. And look, the racing was amazing, but I couldn't hear one single lick of commentary. So we were standing with 100 metres to go, basically, and I didn't know what was happening. I can see the race, yeah, but no one was telling us what splits were. I had it on my watch. No one else did. We were trying to work out how fast they were going. The timing clock at the 200 meter mark was not on, or I couldn't see it from our side, so we didn't know what they were up to. You can barely make out the screen on the other side of the stadium. We were squinting to try to see times, and we couldn't even really see positions or finishing times. Couldn't hear Mona. I know he did some interviews during the night. Couldn't hear him. Couldn't hear the Mottram commentary, which sounded like it was really insightful. Mm. No music. So everyone's just standing around, flat as a tack, thinking, oh, what next? Like, wonder if we should go home or not. It was a beautiful evening. No wind, no rain like last year. There was more people there last year when it was pouring rain, staying in the pouring rain. Bree went in to get a coffee. Kiosk, no milk, sorry. Sorry, we ran out of milk. If you went to the Australian Open of golf or tennis or whatever, you think they're going to run out of milk or serve Pure Blonde? Like, how are you going to attract people to watch athletics when they can't even get a coffee during the race or a beer that tastes reasonable? And then, so we thought, oh, okay, well, we'll go and get an ice cream. So we went up to get an ice cream. I said, oh, I'll have a choc-top with a plate, please. Oh, no flake. Oh, by that stage, I was done. And the lady in the kiosk got copped it a little bit. I thought, why would you put it up there and advertise flakes with the ice cream if you don't have any flakes? It's just a regular choc top. You could have just wiped it. They had 25 flavors up there. All they had was All they had was chocolate. God. Anyway, beside the point, I think there's something critically wrong with your premier athletic meet of the year has such a really dead and poor atmosphere in the stadium. And it was a little bit sad, actually. Like, I was disappointed because I left thinking, that was not worth it. That was not worth $25 each. It wasn't worth me traveling an hour. I missed all the commentary I could have heard on the live stream. I would have had a bloody clock on the live stream that I could have actually seen. I couldn't really hear it. I couldn't hear any interviews afterwards. The athletes, they don't really interact with the crowd much. Like once the guys finish, it's like they don't do cool downs near you, or you don't really get to see them. So I don't know. I'm a little bit jaded by it all. I really want athletics to work, and I love Steigen. I love the culture, the history. I love the racing, but someone needs to jump on board that and turn that into a spectacle.
You mean Zatopek, not Steigen.
Zatopek. Did I say Steigen?
You said Steigen, which we're going to get onto in a second, yeah. Probably not best to confuse the two here.
No, but like there's been more hype about Steigen than there has been about Zatopek. Like I started seeing a bit of social media stuff like maybe 1 or 2 days before the event. Like build this up. Release the start list. Do some interviews. Get some hype going. Actually, like, Jesus. It just disappoints me more than anything. I'm not angry at it. I'm just disappointed with athletics in Australia. Or at least how Zatopek is hosted. Okay, me done.
Brad, you got anything for him?
Good rant.
Very good rant. Especially the ice cream stuff, yeah.
I enjoyed that one. But on the flip side, like, the sport is struggling, and I can see why AA don't pump a lot of money into the event, because they just know people aren't going to turn up. So it's and I know maybe pumping money in will get people to turn up, but, I don't know. Like, you know,
I pump money in.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like, I love the sport as well, but even watching the live stream, like, I was almost going to turn it off, watch Netflix, and just get the results the next day. I don't know.
What were you going to watch on Netflix?
That's a guy that's been running for 20 years, so I don't know. And I guess most runners are in it for them, are in it for themselves and are interested in the events that they're doing. It's not super exciting watching people run laps around a track, really. So, I don't know what the answer is.
Well, the answer is, I'll tell you what the answer is, because I interviewed Dom Jeffries, Godfrey? Dom, what's his last name, Julian?
Godfrey. Dom Godfrey.
Dom Godfrey, the audio is going to come up at the end of this, and he's second in charge at Steigen and had a bit to do with putting on that event that's coming up this weekend. And he's telling me, you'll hear all it, but, you know, food trucks are going to be there. It's $100 for whoever's winning the third lap of the 10K. It's free entry. There's going to be an AFL footy kicking competition straight down the middle of the ground where the shot put's usually happening. That kind of innovation, and it's kind of maybe some of that Nitro stuff has to be implemented to change the sport. And I know people from Shepparton who are going to drive to Geelong on the weekend to watch Steigen because they're interested in these newer concepts. So I think they've got to
wait. Did they go to Zatopek?
No, definitely not. No. 100% didn't go to Zatopek. I think you got to change things up a bit. And if you can't hit the basics, like having milk in your, you know, at your cafeteria or having the commentary turned on, like, these are things that you've got to hit that first and then start worrying about, oh, maybe we need food trucks, or maybe we need money for who's winning halfway through a race, or maybe we need an AFL competition. Then you start looking at those innovations. But if you can't nail that basic stuff, and Julian, you're a member of an athletics club, so, you know, surely there could have been some discount or free entry if you're an AV member. You've already paid your membership. It's, I don't know, it just makes, all that stuff should be basic level stuff, and I'm a bit surprised that they haven't tried to implement it.
I considered that, actually. Yeah, I agree. I went up and I thought, oh, AV member? No. I'm not a tight ass, but I just, if you're paying $25 basically just to walk in and stand there, there needs to be something more than that. Because these guys, like, You can watch a lot of athletics out there. This was a special race. It always is a special race out of there. But $25 normally gets you something a little bit more than standing by the track.
Are they, wondering, are they maybe thinking that the views are coming from the live stream and pumping that and making sure the commentary works and, you know, asking Mottram to commentate and Tams and Manu was in there? Like, are they just thinking, well, no one's rocking up, let's put all our resources into making the live stream good?
Well, I have no idea. I'm not involved in that, but this is just me as someone who drove up commentating on it and being disappointed by it. But even we were near the pole vaulters. We had no idea what was happening in the pole vault. All we could see were just people jumping. Sometimes they'd get excited, other times they wouldn't. We had no idea of the heights they're jumping, who's in the first in the standings, what this jump means. If she jumps this, she's going to break this record, or she's going to come move into second. Like, it's just like a local athletics meet with big names there. That's all it was.
I'll throw something out there quickly. Do you think an issue might be, because it's the only national championship that I know, well, maybe not, but that it's to me it seems to be run by AV. Not, you know, all the entries are done through AV. You pretty much get taken to the Athletics Victoria website for anything to do with Zatopek. So, like, is AA not, you know, fully invested in that event?
Well, I'm sure we're going to have some listener answers to this, because there are some athletics people that listen to the podcast, and I'd be stoked to hear that where they think it's going wrong, or what they try to do different that maybe I'm not seeing. I'm looking forward to that.
Yep, we'll leave that there. We're just trying to give some constructive criticism, because we really care for our sport and we want to see it being the very best it can be. So looking forward to maybe some feedback coming back the opposite way there. Last little bit of news here, guys, and we don't need to talk about this for long, but Yuki Kawauchi, our man from Japan, goes out 2 weeks to the day after running out Fukuoka Marathon and runs 2:10:53. After running 2:10:53, runs 2:10:03. His 75th time breaking 2 hours 20. How good does that make you feel, Brad, when we're both trying to do that once?
Yeah, I don't compare myself to him.
This guy is a machine. Far out.
Yeah.
He's good.
There's no one other than him, really, that can back up and run consecutive marathons at the pace that he does. Like, he obviously genetically has something going on that allows him to recover faster than everybody else.
Mm. Yeah, something's going on there. Should get an MRI or some kind of special blood test just to figure out what he's made of inside. We're going on to the listener question, because this one really fits into the criticism we've just been giving Zatopek. So if you could, this comes from Chris Armstrong. If you could design your own running event with an open checkbook, what would it look like? What would the surface be? Maybe track, road, or cross country or trail? What would the distance be? Which athletes would you invite to compete in it? Could be for their promotional value or to be set up as a match race, perhaps. Any unique or key features to the event? As he said, you have an open checkbook. You boys both told me you're not too creative, but I'd be very interested to hear what your thoughts are here. Do you want to kick us off, Brad?
Yeah, right. I'm very uncreative, and this, I wasn't sure how to take this, whether I could actually choose any athletes that have, I don't know, from the past and put them together, or
you can do what you want,
like,
mate.
That.
King of Canberra.
One race that I would love to see would be Mo Farah, Bekele, and Gebrselassie all in their prime, with pacemakers at world record pace, and they basically all have to go with the pace to see how that would pan out at the end. Because, you know, like, the interesting thing here is that obviously Bekele holds a world record and has four of the top ten quickest times. Geb has three of the top ten. So Bekele's got a PB of 26:17, Geb 26:22, and then Farah, you know, goes down as one of the greatest distance runners in history for, I guess, his championship record. But I think he's ranked about 16th quickest over 10K. At 26:46, they all have the ability to finish super quick. So I would just love to see more so just how quick Farah can actually go when he's pushed. Which obviously, having Bekele and Gebrselassie there in their prime, he'd have to run a lot faster than he has. So that's a race that I'd love to see. Not that creative, but they've all got phenomenal kicks. So it'd be really, really interesting to see how that goes. One other athlete that I would love to see now would be Sammy Wanjiru. Just based on his 2:06:32 in Beijing, I'd love to see him head-to-head with Kipchoge at the moment, because that 2:06 has got to be worth a few minutes in Beijing. Like, that was a phenomenal run. So
he time-trialed that day as well.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, so that was, yeah, that's got to go down as one of the greatest marathon runs in history, I reckon, even though the time's not, you know, it's not 2:03. But,
That was pretty creative. That was good.
Yeah.
Chuck that 10K race in the London Olympics, Mo Farah's hometown. At the 2012 London. Jeez, that's getting even more creative.
So what do you reckon would happen in that race where the pacemakers are going at world record pace and to basically, for the athletes to be paid their money, they have to go with it for as long as they can?
I think that'd smash him, wouldn't they? Like, that's, what is it, 40 well, seconds that, ahead of, isn't he like 40 seconds behind him?
Yeah, who would win?
Bekele. I don't know. We can't do, yeah.
No, it would be good though.
It would be good. Julian, what do you think?
I wasn't very good at this, but then I just had a thought. What about a running race that, like, in order to build exposure or for the sport and to get the sport on like a national or an international scale, get it during the tour to keep the crowd entertained and as a bit of a side spectacle while they ride along the flats part and before they hit one of the grand mountain stages, do a mountain climb with some of the best athletes in the world. So the 10K guys and the mountain runners, maybe the 5K guys, marathoners, you'd get some good ultra runners out there. Start of the climb, and maybe like a 6 to a 10K climb, like, and this is the high category stuff, up to the top of the mountain. And you've got the same sort of atmosphere as when the bike riders go up there. So you know what the tour's like, with single lane, everyone shouting, cheering, pushing. And I reckon that'd be cool.
Yeah, I like it.
Good
exposure.
Yeah, I came out with that on the spot. How about that?
Good work, well done, race director. You got it sorted.
Yeah, I can be creative.
I've given this one a bit of thought because I was prepared for it the first time around, and I was thinking similar to the Nike Breaking 2 Hour project at Monza, like a lap circuit, but instead of just making it Nike, have like the Adidas Dream Team there as well, of like the, you know, Wilson Kipsangs and, I don't know, that guy who comes second at Berlin this year. You know, then invite ASICS, whoever wants to be in it, you can be represented in a team to go against this first human under 2 hours. But also have the best female marathoners in the world start 15 minutes in front of them and try to break the world record and go under 2:15. So you got the guys chasing the girls around this track, which maybe wouldn't work if they're going to, yeah, they're going to have to catch them and then lap them a couple of times to get on the same lap as them. But throw huge prize money out, like, you know, get some big corporate sponsor, put $1 million up, have the paces going, they can get their drinks, like, take all that politics out of it about when you can get drinks, when you can't. You can wear whatever logos you want. You can wear whatever shoes you want, as long as they're not got motors or whatever in them. And just really, let's see where the human limit is and if a human can run under 2 hours. Like, get massive beer tents, like, have them running through marquees, like, just sell this thing out, maybe a 2K loop. You could do it out Miami Industrial Estate if you wanted to, straight around there. Just beer tents, live music, and just put these people on the line. And, huge pack of people just going and seeing who can hang on for the longest to break 2 hours. And I reckon that would do amazing things for the, similar to the Nike 2 hour thing, but can you imagine that getting promoted by like 10 running brands and all these companies getting hold of it? It's a bit like that kind of, I don't know, Formula One kind of GP kind of stuff. I reckon it'd be a good event, and yeah, have the girls out there as the rabbits and they've got to chase them down as well for a bit of a spectacle. Live splits, you know, we're seeing what every single K is and they're getting predicted finishes and have Teslas and all that kind of stuff and just make it a massive show. And, let's really just see what a human can do. That's my idea. What do you think, boys? Do you like it?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Just getting back to the sub 2 thing, I'm surprised that, because remember they decided to have it like a closed event? Like, I reckon it would have been awesome to open. Like, why not have heap, like, crowds? Surely it would have helped the athletes, having someone cheer for them.
Yeah, it would have for sure. Yeah, but imagine, like, you're picking, like, you know how the Japanese culture is, you run for your employer. So you're running for Honda or you're running for Samsung or whatever. Can you imagine that? You've got diehards in the audience, like, absolutely cheering for Team Adidas or Team Nike or Team New Balance or whatever. And you could have, you know, you're good, you know, your track guys. You could have a, like Collis was helping out the Nike 2-Hour Project, I guess. You have your gun 5-10K runners, like, pacing your team through, and do they all go in the same pack, or does Team Adidas sit back off Team Nike, or what happens? And, you know, you're giving $1 million out to the winner, kind of real big cash money prizes, if they can do it.
Right,
open checkbook.
Set it up.
Yeah, yeah, just need an open checkbook. Anyway, boys, I'm trying to make sure I've got a decent Wi-Fi connection. I don't know if I could manage to get that sorted. That's it for another week. We've got another product review coming up this week. We're going to Steigen this week. We've got a few different bits of audio coming at you this week. We've got to say a massive thank you to Josh Harris, who is also down at up in from Tasmania. Josh Harris, the Australian Marathon representative, who was at Zatopek and in town for the weekend. He got a bit of audio with who's coming up. We've got Stewie McSwain, the winner of the 10K on the weekend, on Thursday. And we've also got James Hansen, who was second, had a massive breakthrough run in the men's 1500, really put it on the line of about 250 metres to go. I thought he was going to hang on and win it there. So a bit of that audio is coming up. And I've also had a bit of a chat with Dom from Steigen all about the Steigen Spectacular, which is this weekend. So given our conversation about Zatopek, I really, yeah, be interested in some people's thoughts about how Steigen's going to stack up compared to Zatopek. What do you reckon, boys? What's going to happen this weekend? Brad, Julian and I are both spiking up. Well, he's not spiking up, but we're both getting on the track again. What's going to happen?
Well, you'd have to pick you to beat Julian at the moment based on just how well you're training and, I guess, the week that Julian had last week. So no pressure, Brady.
Thanks.
But, yeah, we spoke off air last week and, you know, the sessions that you're doing, you're definitely in shape to break 30 minutes. So just don't do anything stupid. And if someone goes past you to chase that $100 for the, what, you know, every third lap or whatever, just let them go.
So. Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen there, Julian? It's an interesting concept.
I'm not sure. I don't think there's anyone in. I think this race has always been about guys getting PBs and running good 10Ks. This hasn't been about someone trying to knock off some coin. And on the entrant list, the only one that I could see there that would be interested in that would be Nick Earl. Like, doesn't mind a fun run, that bloke. So I'm sure he'll, and plus he's run Zatopek. He's not out. I don't think he'd be out trying to run PBs. Or there won't be too many blokes around him trying to run, like, at his PB pace. So I could see him maybe doing that, but then no one else. I think everyone else will be out there with a smart game plan in mind and trying to tuck in for a race. So I don't think it'll play too much of a part in the event.
It will cross your mind though, won't it? Like, if you're sitting in a pack of three guys and you're just banging out a nice pace and you're coming up to lap six, you're going to have to think about just putting in a surge just to pick up $100 petrol money?
No way. Not if you. Are you serious, Brady? You're going there to try and break. You're trying to go there to break 30 minutes for the first time, and you're thinking about $100.
That's four entries to Zatopek next year, Brad.
Oh, no. Nah.
Yeah, so you're a tight bastard.
I was asking you the question.
This is what will bring you undone.
Yeah. Brad be at home watching the live stream, just sending through comments. I can just see this happening.
The fact that even
I was just going to run 8K hard. Run 8K hard, pick up $500 and float the last 2K, Brad.
If I was you, Brady, I would not go through 5K faster than 15 minutes, but I would make sure that I'm super comfortable and kick home the last K and break 30 minutes.
Get the sleeping giant back out, you reckon, Brad?
Well, the year that I did it at Zatopek, I basically was 14:58 and 14:50. And I think the 10K is an event where you really need to be comfortable 6K in, 7K in, because you can lose massive time in that last couple of K if you've just pushed it a bit too hard early. So if your goal's 30 minutes, just even split it.
Yeah, nah.
That's my advice.
Good advice, Brad. Jeez, imagine if we both took down Brad's PB, Julian.
No chance. Nah. I'm not It's a good payback. Yeah, it's on the road though, so it's a bit dodgy. But he's got one on the track too.
He's done both of them at Zatopek.
Yeah, yeah.
Zatopek's quicker than my road one.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. So what I was going to call out the winner who I thought was going to win.
Are you going to call someone out? The Moose is back calling people out pre-race.
No,
Steve Denise racing.
The winner, I think, will be Brady Threlfall.
Yeah, what? It's like that's a big call. I haven't run under 30:20 for a couple of years, and you're saying I'm going to go out there and beat some 29:45 guys.
Why I'm saying it is because if you don't win you don't run 29:45, then the industrial estate is a total wank and there's something seriously wrong with that area and you should start training elsewhere. That's what I would do if I were you and you didn't run 29:45 and win this race.
I would
find a new location.
That's why I did want to train on the track the other week with the spikes on around a measured athletics track. And then when I got back, I was like, oh shit, I've got to go back out to the industrial estate and this is questionable out here. And, you know, it's a different thing. Like, I'm in the 4%ers out there. It's much easier to run reps of 3K when you're on the road surface rather than the track. So, yeah, I'll be in spikes and banging out 25. So I think if it was a road 10K, I'd be pretty confident that I could wear the 4%ers and run 29:45. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. Looking forward to racing. I remember I pulled out of this race last year because I was just all tired and depresso and didn't want to race. But I'm super excited to get down to this meet and have a good race, which should be good. Righto, boys, we're done.
30:20 for you, Julian? 30:20, 30:30?
Nah, I think that'll be too quick. I'll be happy with the PB, actually. 30:45, I'll take that.
Smash that. See, he's going in the underdog here. He's doing this intentionally, Brad.
Not really, no.
Some of these track sessions are good. Good track sessions. You'll smash the time that you ran at Albert Park.
I know my body pretty well. And I can pretty much call where I'm going to be a few days out within 10 seconds. I nearly always have been able to do that. And so I think around 30:45 would be a good result. That's me.
All right, fellas. Brad, what are you doing this week? You know what Julie and I are doing? We're heading to Geelong to race Steigen. What do you got coming up?
I've got like another just big week of strength stuff. So I've got that hour tempo tomorrow that I do over those rolling hills. A few of those K hill reps with the tempo at the end of it. Actually, I'll be down the coast Christmas Eve doing that hilly run, Julian, that you've done through there, through the bush.
Oh, yeah.
So you'll go
from pretty beach over or back?
Go the other way. I'll go from, like, North Durris towards Kyola and pretty beach. It's always pretty hilly. So it's just a big strength week, really.
I like it, getting strong. Getting strong to do the hard stuff coming up.
Yeah, hopefully.
That's it. All right, boys. Thanks for your time again. Thanks to all the people who listened this far in. We talked a bit of garbage tonight, just like most weeks. If the listeners out there could spread the word on social media, the numbers have been growing steadily the last couple of weeks, but always take a review on the iTunes store or a share on Strava or social media. That's one way you can show support for the show. And we'll be back next week to talk all things running again. Thanks for joining us again. Catch ya.
Good
boys.
See ya.
Joined here with Dom Godfrey from Steigen, and he's just telling me off air that he's the manager, the third IC at this event in 2 weeks' time, the Steigen Spectacular. Thanks for joining me, Dom. Thanks for being on Inside Running.
Oh, thanks for having me, Brady. It's a pleasure, and I'm an avid listener, and it's good to be on talking about Steigen night.
Yeah, can't wait. We're just over a week away. It's I guess it's all kind of just rolling into a bigger event. How are you guys finding it at your end, putting it on?
Yeah, it's lots of things happening last minute, which we're pretty good at here at Steigen, but it's all coming together pretty well, and the the field is looking stronger and stronger, and we'll probably get some more last minute entries over the next few days, and then it's all finalised Friday, and yeah, we'll be all set. So
Saturday, 23rd of December, down at Landy Field at Geelong, 5 p.m. start, just before Christmas. Pretty good night to be getting down there and watching some high quality athletics.
Yeah, absolutely, Brady. It's a great night to get down there, and we've got 100 metre men's, 400, the mile. There's an elite 5K field, which is the best field I've seen in a 5K. And there's steeplechase, a lot of guys qualifying for that Commonwealth Games time in the steeple, and a men's 10K as well, which there'll be a race within a race, I think, with you and Julian going head-to-head Mark 2 on the track. So twice the distance, twice the fun. So looking forward to seeing how that pans out too for you guys. So, yeah.
So then also on the girls' side, we've got a women's 100 metres, 400, 800, 5K and the pole vault.
Yep, you've done well. You've nailed that. And, Morgan Mitchell coming down again to do the 400. And there's a great field for both the 800 and women's 5K. So hopefully the weather sticks good and we get a nice fast meet, so yeah.
Let's have a chat about that elite 5K, because that was the only event where you said elite 5K, so maybe talk us about where that event, this is the first time there's been a 5,000 metres at Steigen, where's that come from?
Yeah, so basically because of Commonwealth Games year and a lot of interest in the Steigen night and Nick Bedeau's squad coming down to put on, the fastest 5K of the year, really. Some of the field is... I think that the slowest guy is about a 14-15 runner and they're sort of up and coming fellas. So, Ryan Gregson and Pat Tiernan, Brett Robinson, Stewie McSwain and a few others. So should be a ripping night. I'm looking forward to watching it as a fan, as I'm sure you are as well. So.
Yeah, Pat Tiernan, Brett Robinson, Dave McNeil, Jack Rayner, Stewie McSwain. Yeah. I'm just looking at the list here, Jordan Williams. Is Gregson going to run the 5K or is he just pacing or what's the story there?
The word is he'll be probably pacing. They're all a lot of it seems to be centered around Brett Robinson running a good time and Stewie McSwain as well. I think they're all just trying to get a nice quick 5K time before April, so it's a great meet to do it, and a lot of the other fellas are also doing the steeplechase, and Geordie Williams is trying to get the mile win. He got pipped by Jordan Guzman last year by about the smallest of margins, so I'm sure he'll be trying to get the win there again this year.
What's the qualifier, mate? Do you know, what have people got to look out for?
What's the qualifier? I think for the steeple, it's around 8:25 or 8:20. 5K, not too sure. I think
it's 13:22 or 24, yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's not as tight as it was in the past, but I reckon it's low 13:20s.
Yeah, somewhere around that. And then the big event, obviously, is what you're about to bring up, is the Super Boot competition. So we don't take ourselves too seriously at Steigen, and we've put on... $2,000 cash for the guy that can come down or girl that can come down and do the biggest torp. So with our sponsorship with Geelong Falcons this year, we've sort of put that together and be a nice event for bring the whole family down and see if you've got the biggest boot. So if you've done a few hammy stretches, Brady, I reckon you should get those pins out. I reckon you could be a chance to get $2,000 cash.
I don't know. I've had plenty of practice on yard duty this year when I kicked footy with 12-year-olds. You know those miniature footies as well? They're much easier to kick those ones. Yeah.
We'll get a couple of them down for you.
Hook me up with some of those ones. That's all I'm all used to. Big, full-grown ones would just break me leg. Where are they kicking? Are they kicking from, like, the javelin line or something?
We've got the official measurement with the javelin, and they'll probably kick from... like, you know, where the shot put is in the middle of a field, in the middle of an athletics track, and then probably out. And it's just a nice little event to have in that lull between races, and just to sort of keep the atmosphere up and, pluck people from the crowd to have a go. So it should be a good fun night. And that night before, that sort of Saturday before Christmas, sort of Geelong families kicking around, thinking about what to do. So,
And I don't want to sound like you hate some of those throwing events, but for me personally, watching a few guys trying to kick 50 or 60 metre torps is much more entertaining than watching a few big fellas throw some shot puts or javelins in the middle there. So I think that's a bit of a Aussie flavour at the festive time of the year.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right.
Where's all this innovation come from, mate? Like, this event's been around for the last 2011, I think it started. I remember running it with, you know, 7-8 people on the track one year. We got to request a song each. That was, I think that was a very, nice. Before it was Steigen. I think that was 2010. Everyone got to request one song, and I think 5 people requested Eminem Lose Yourself. So like, every second song was just Eminem Lose Yourself.
Yeah, that's a very good call.
But it was a real, it was a great call. It was a real underground kind of meet. You kind of had to really look around the dark web to find any details on it. And now it's all just blown up, and we've got some big names there, like you mentioned before.
Yeah, it's and Louis Rowan, the Steigen owner, and Brett Coleman are definitely responsible for a lot of that, which is their good hard work that's sort of got it off the ground. And then, recently we've sort of gone more for, the approach of really taking care of an athlete and putting on bigger prize money and incentives for them to run a nice fast time and to just come down to Geelong and do it. It's a lot more relaxed for them, but it's still a really good field. We sort of want, I was talking to Louis about it before, and we're chatting about we really want people to know who Ryan Gregson and Stuart McSwain and Brett Robinson and Pat Tin, and we want kids at the athletics track to know who they are and see them more on TV and know that athletics can be a career for them and to work hard and be seen. And pouring all that money and almost attention back into the athletes, I think they really see that and keep coming down these sort of fields just keep producing. So it's getting better and better. I've come on just in the last few years, and I've even seen it grow in the last few years. But obviously, like you said, with having 8 guys in a 10K and everyone running out to Eminem, and like that's eight years ago. So it's humble beginnings, but all on Louis Rowan for the innovation and Brett Coleman for sort of piecing together fields and getting it all sanctioned and having it an official time and with the sort of stuff now with, like you definitely know, with podcasting and live feed on Facebook and YouTube, and it just keeps growing and growing. So it's it's great.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of, athletics has had to do it, kind of reinvent itself a bit and make it a bit more exciting. And that dash for cash in the 10K is probably a great example. 10K track races can be pretty boring around and around the 25 laps, but it's going to really, make things interesting. And as a guy who's looking to race it, I'm not really sure what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, and as you know, Brady, money talks, and people will come down to try to get that extra cash, but it also makes it, it makes it a really fast race, as you know yourself with your racing. Not many people want to take the lead, and having people in front every 3 laps definitely means it's nice and quick. So I reckon, we'll produce some really good times from it. So,
what's your prediction, mate? Do you think there's going to be a couple of people sit in and then just put in surges at the final 50 metres every third lap, or is someone going to go from the gun and just draw it out?
It's hard to say. I'd like to think someone can go from the gun and stretch everyone out and keep going on for a fast time and a fast win. I don't know if you'll see people stretching out sort of Nitro Athletic style just to get that just to get past the post first and then sort of cook themselves for the rest of the race. But we'll see. I'll see what you and the other. I think we've got a field of about 36 runners. So see what you and the other 35. I've got for us on the night, so should be good.
And there's a catch there. You got to run under 33 minutes, don't you? So you can't go out and bang out a real quick 4K and just pull the pin.
No, which I did was thinking of doing. Me and a few friends were thinking, we could get ourselves a few $100 here, but you do. The qualifying time was 33 minutes, and you've got to finish in 33 minutes. But if you first pass the post after each 3 laps and finish the race, then $100 in your pocket each 3 laps, so
it's good
petrol money for you, and champagne on ice for the win.
Christmas present spending money so close to Christmas could be right.
That's a bit boring though, Brady. You could spend it on yourself if you've earned it.
Buy a couple pairs of shoes at the running company Ballarat or something.
That's right, or a couple pairs of Steigen socks off them as well. Sound good. Cool, really.
Yeah, well, on to Steigen. Are we allowed to wear the Steigen singlets?
Well, I'll have to... I'll put out some info about that because I'm really hoping that people won't have to wear their club gear. As you know, club gear can sometimes be a bit clunky and crappy unless Steigen make it, of course. I reckon Steigen singlets are the go, the ones you guys reviewed, and there's some bright yellow colours, and of course some special prizes for people that wear the bright Steigen socks on the night as well. So if you're not sponsored, of course, which a lot of people might fall into trouble with.
Three quarters of the people racing will be sponsored by the looks of this start list. So none of the podcast boys are sponsored. We can wear what we want. We're fine.
Yeah, right. Oh, good stuff.
Nah, it's good, mate. And there's going to be beers and stuff down there, some food, or what can the spectators expect?
Yeah, we've got food trucks down there, mate. There'll be lots of food and coffee and soft drinks and ice cream and everything you can want, Brady. And for athletes on the night too, we really put an emphasis on taking care of them and providing them with food and Gatorade and water and all of that sort of stuff too. So plenty of stuff down there that we'll be selling socks on the night too, and some singlets down there as well. And one of the running companies will be there too, selling all their stuff too. So should be a big night. No excuses not to come down, really.
How much does it get in, Dom?
Oh, that's the kicker, Brady. It's free entry, would you believe it?
How's that, eh? Free entry to a meet like that. You've got Olympians running around, food truck festival, the lot.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and again, it's coming back to, we don't want people to have to fork out money just to watch watch runners run around, and keeping it free makes it nice event, and looking forward to it already.
Well, I reckon hopefully we just drummed up a bit of interest, and I was talking to a couple from Shepparton last weekend who were half thinking, kind of like nearly across the line, thinking about they might commit and drive down and watch, but any kind of last minute kind of messages just to encourage people to really bite the bullet and make the commitment to come down and get involved?
Yeah, well, as you know, athletics is it's exciting stuff when done properly, and I think Nitro is a testament to that, and for people sort of half thinking of coming down, these guys are, you might not know them, but they're the best in Australia, and it's a time of year where they're getting faster and faster for the Commonwealth Games, so it's a great preview to that, and plenty of stuff to do for the kids. I think there's a rumour that Santa Claus might be there as well, which I know you'd probably be pretty interested to shake Santa's hand, of course.
And, don't mind Santa,
lots of, competitions and prizes and giveaways. So it's a good night down in Geelong. So.
And everything's
for those guys
a bit
in
more...
Shepparton, I'd say get on the highway and come down.
Everything's a bit more relaxed in in Geelong as well. It's just a bit more chilled out down there. And everyone's on holidays. Christmas is coming up. Get down there and watch some good athletics.
That's it.
Commentators, Dom, you got a good commentary team?
There's a couple. There's maybe Tim Crosby, who also does the Zatopek stuff. There's a fella, Paul Jens, as well. Yeah. And Facebook Live, thanks to Athletics Exclusive. So you'll have to jump on their page. And they've got full live streaming on Facebook and YouTube. And there'll be someone interviewing winners and things like that too. So... tune in if you can't make it down, if you're out of state. Obviously, anyone in Victoria can make it down, Brady. But if you're out of state, jump on the Steigen Facebook page and there'll be links to the live feed.
Those guys did a really good live stream at Vic Myler's 3K as well. So this is going to be good quality stuff online to watch as well.
Yeah, they do a really, really good job. They take it seriously and they know it's sort of the way these athletics meets are going. And I know that I was in the US and I stayed up to watch the B Heat, of course, the Julian v Brady battle at 2 a.m. It's
2 a.m.
Yeah, well, it was. It was great coverage, and definitely support those guys, another sort of underground athletics movement. So, yeah.
Beautiful, Dom. Thanks for your time. Any last-minute information that people need to know? I'm trying to think. I reckon we've covered it pretty well there.
Yeah, I reckon we've done pretty well. But if all else fails, jump on the Steigen Facebook page and grab yourself a pair of socks, of course, and come on down for the night. Should be good. Looking forward to, like I said, the men's 10K, the Trophy versus Spence. That should be great. I don't know about Brad wanting us to fly him down.
No, I think don't know what he was talking about.
Stretching the budget a little bit.
For a bloke who goes out and bangs out park runs as his main races, no good flying a guy like Brad down.
Nothing wrong with that, Brady.
No, park runs good, but... You know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Should be good, though. I'm looking forward to it. Was the 5K on last? What's the? I know the 10K is still the main event, isn't it? Like it's we're not going off that.
Yeah, 10K is the biggest field and biggest prize money. But the 5K is at the 5K is last. I'm pretty sure at 9 PM. But full schedule's changing every minute, Brady. So full details and schedule will be on the on the Steigen website and Facebook page. But the 10K and the 5K men's are the ones you want to be there for.
Jeez, I might have to join Tim in the commentary box if the 5K's afterwards. I could have a rip and run and then just put the mics on.
Yeah.
Debut at commentary. I might practice this week. See how we go.
As long as there's no appearance fee, Brady, maybe we can sort something
out. I'm a big fan of this race. I was just looking back the other day. I think I've ran it 4 out of the last 6 years. So
right?
Yes, I love this race. 2 years I didn't run it. I was at Zatopek. So
there you go.
Yeah, don't mind this one. Good. Picked up a couple of thirds, but haven't got any higher than that.
That's all right. Maybe this year's your year, mate.
Can you remember the year that Mottram paced it?
I do remember that year. I was a fan sitting in the crowd that year. That was pretty impressive.
I sat behind him for like 20 laps. I think he just led.
Is that right?
Yep. We were four of us in Indian file behind Mottram for the first 20 laps. Nothing changed at all. Then he pulled out and we all started racing each other. It was great fun.
There you go. Did you get a few photos of you just in front of Mottram before he pulled out?
Not in front. I'm just tucked in behind, which looks just as good. That looks like he's trying to drop me and he can't shake me. So that's just as good for Instagram.
Yeah.
Scroll through. Like, go back 2 years, you'll see that photo there. Might have to repost it this week.
Some research.
Beautiful, Dom. Thanks for your time. And, listeners, get down there. You can see how chilled out Dom is in his voice, and that's going to be what the event's going to be like, and a good showcase of athletics next Saturday, the 23rd of December. Cheers,
good on
Dom.
You, Brady.
Thanks,
good
mate.
Work. Cheers, mate.
All right, here with James Hansen, fresh off a massive PB, second place finish, almost took it out, a real breakthrough run from him tonight. He's obviously been training well. How'd it feel out there, mate?
Yeah, it felt amazing, mate. I mean, I don't know, I just felt strong. Don't really know what to say.
It looked like you put yourself in the perfect position. Like, you were obviously confident. You sat in that, basically the box seat the whole way. I saw you split a lap to go. I'm like, yeah, you're going to PB here. You still look fresh. Obviously, what do you put it down to? A big winter or what do you say?
I think probably the biggest thing is just my mindset. I've changed the way I've been thinking about my running. For probably the past 3 years, I've been pretty steady along, you know, running 340, 341, 342 for the last three seasons. And I just had to kind of do my own thing and start to get into my rhythm of knowing what works for me, and that's doing things a lot out of the box to what ordinary distance runners do. But it's been working, and tonight was just showing that. So
to run 340 first up, mate, you've got to be very excited about the rest of your season, especially given the times from some of the other guys in that race.
Obviously, I kind of expected to run this quick. I did a 2:20 time trial for a K the other day, so I knew I was in good shape. But to be honest, like, I don't think I've done what I can do yet. Like, I haven't put in the work that I know I can put, so I think there's a lot more to come. I didn't expect to be in this good of shape this early, but I think there's definitely a lot more to come.
Well, mate, you're definitely a very popular man around the traps here. It took you 30 minutes to get round just to the start line again. So congrats on a good run. We look forward to seeing more the rest of the season.
Thanks, mate. And you always inspire me. Looking up at that brown-skinned Tassie man that taught me everything I know. It was a very, very good thing to see and really got me going. So thanks for being my inspiration. Thanks for the good conversations we've had, talking about not much running but everything else. The amount of frozen Cokes. I've been having more frozen Cokes and Maccas than ever in the past 6 months. That could be something to do with it as well.
He's back to his four years ago form. Well done, mate. All right, we're here with Stuart McSwain, winner of the National 10,000 Metre Champs, Zatopek 10 the other night. Looking back on the race, how was it?
It was obviously pretty good.
It's probably a little bit different to what I expected. I thought it might be a bit quicker. Pat Tinner normally likes to push the pace early, so I was a bit surprised when he left it to probably the last five laps, but I think it definitely suited me, so yeah, I can't be too angry with that.
All right, so I saw you with four laps to go. You had the perfect sit on Tinner there, mate. What did you think with one lap to go? Did you think that you could outkick him, especially given that mile PB and you'd beaten him in the past? Were you confident at that point? You looked good.
Yeah, I definitely was confident. I knew I could hear his breathing, and I thought he wasn't going too bad with the bell lap. So I knew he definitely would have a different change of pace coming up. So I was sort of thinking with 250 go, I knew it was coming. So I was just like, when he went with probably 250 go, I was like, I just got to hang on and just wait my time. And then coming off that bend, I had a few supporters with about 100 to go, so it kind of fired me up a bit. And I thought, yeah, I was a good chance from then on.
All right, so I believe you've got nomination for Comm Games, so I think that should be pretty set in stone for the 10,000. What's the plan for the rest of the season? You've obviously got qualifiers in the steeple, the 5K. Where to from now? What's the plan before April?
So hopefully I'll do a steeple between here and the Comm Games trials. I'll try and run the A standard, and then I'll just be getting ready for both events at the in February for the national trials. So hopefully I can double up on events, but we'll just wait and see how those trials go.
So you're not sure which two of the three events at the moment?
So I think 10K and steeple on the same night at Comm Games, so I probably would have to decide depending on what I get selected. But
you'd think so.
Yeah, so the 5K will probably be the bigger focus, but I'm going to keep doing both and just see how it goes for the rest of the domestic season.
Yeah. Now, obviously, being a Tasmanian, have you gained a really high support back there? Have you felt like you're different to some of these other guys? Just through that Tasmanian community, I feel like I know myself. I know there are a lot of people back home that just like, we've embraced you as Tasmanian. You obviously are Tasmanian, but do you feel like there's just that extra community vibe about you right now?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like Tassie is underrated how big it is on athletics. I feel like you kind of, being from Tassie and also King Island, I feel like you kind of rated as a bit of an underdog, and people sort of like the story. So yeah, I've definitely got a lot of support coming from Tassie, which has been obviously helpful so far. And yeah, hopefully leading into the Comm Games next year, I'll keep having the same kind of support.
I'm sure you will, mate. All right, well, good luck for the rest of the season. Well done on the big race the other night, and hopefully you have a good night tonight.
Appreciate it. I love the podcast.
Thank you. Yeah.